It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a sperm suspended hundreds of feet in the air. We are better than that. If you don't know what that is, then you're not paying attention. You could join our chat room, Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also live on Facebook on the Davin's Den page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pippalacious Hilixicus. Hello, Pippalacious
Hilixicus.
How's it going?
You know, it's going pretty good.
Good. Joe will be running along here shortly. You know, Joe does Santa Claus. He was also in honor of the holiday of Valentine's Day. He's been running around in a diaper acting as Cupid. So he is just finishing up his rounds, putting some clothing back on. Because nobody wants to see Joe on this show in a diaper, although he's
Put it on!
He's probably about 8 years away from that as it is, but Joe will be here sans diaper in short order. On the show, our Valentine's Day 2023 Love Fails Countdown, and a love that always seems destined to fail. Fake Davin and Scammer and Scamming Scammers. I was just telling Pip in the little pre-show that we do on the Facebook page, I am filthy with the romance scammers right now. I'm like in four or five or six relationships at a time. And it's hard to like keep creating stuff. But what's weird is like I'll actually start like liking them. Like, oh, this person's fun to talk to. They're kind of interesting. They seem very nice and caring. God. Maybe we're actually getting along. Maybe it won't turn. And then invariably, the little hand is out. The little hand is out. What can you give for me? Please. Please.
Please, sir. Can I have some more?
And then it's my duty to find the creative way to go, no, you get nothing. You get nothing. Now, does Fake Davin say, be done with, go away and play that? Does Fake Davin have a sob story? Why he can't give anything? Does he use logic? But right now, I have so many coming at me, and some of them have similar names. So I really have to double check before I respond to them, not to screw up, which I've done in the past. But I got
Well, they do that plenty, so I think it would go right over their heads.
But I don't remember all my backstories. You know, some backstories I'm alone. Some backstories I'm married. You know, some backstories. You know, everybody died in a horrible car crash, just like them. You know, sometimes I'm a douche. Sometimes I'm a weak man. There's so many things. And as Joe points out, yeah, we'll hear about it in like 2-3 years from now. And by the time we get to it, like we're doing with Mary right now, I forget. Like, oh, I forgot about that. Like we were doing, like last week, the last couple of weeks, we've been doing this stuff with Mary and her menstrual cramps and how she wants $25 for pads. And I forgot some of the stuff I said, like, you know, I'm tired of hearing of your bleeding pussy. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I can't believe
you
said that.
I forgot. Or like when I, because like she wanted a pad that was made in Nigeria, and I listed a couple that were real here, and then I made up like, you know, Stop a Drop. I completely forgot about that. So in many ways, it's new for me too when I reveal it to you guys.
Well, Yeah, well, I mean, because it goes by in a flash. It's like this show a lot of times. We say it, it's gone, and someone will say to me, oh, that was really funny when you guys were talking about blood. I'm like, we did?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like 3 hours, and it goes by, and we're doing it again the next week. And it's like there have been so many years of these 3 hours that, you know, if somebody refers to something specific, a lot of the time I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, you could ask me after the show, and a lot of time I don't know, which is fine.
Yes, yes. Like, you know, Mr. Helix says, how was the show? What did you guys talk about? I'm like, I have no earthly idea.
And you say, Mr. Helix, you're not doing anything. How come your ass isn't listening?
Yeah, well, you know what? He's a radio boy, so a lot of times he is doing something.
All right.
But,
so,
go on. You know, what's really funny is that, well, it's getting less funny, is that as much as we forget what we say on the show, I forget what I say in life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And at work, somebody says, did you speak to so-and-so client? And I'm like, I do what I got to do. I write the notes in our little computer thing, and then I'm off to the next person. So if you ask me 2 hours later, did I speak to them? I'm like, I don't know. Read the notes. I have no idea what I don't do. They're gone.
So I'm having that with my act now. So there's a joke, which I've done for several years. Haven't done it in a few months. And it's about the store Justice. And when my daughter was younger, she wanted to go to the store Justice, which is a store geared to preteens, teens, and tweens. But
okay.
I was doing the show this past Saturday, and I couldn't remember the name of the store Justice. So I'm like, well, you know, it's the store geared towards. I couldn't for the life of me think of the name. It's bad enough when you forget new shit, but when you forget the old shit, it's just like.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, back in the day, which you'll remember, but no one else was witness to, I had one joke where I was talking about the girls when they get unstrapped at the end of the day and, you know, what kind of shenanigans they could get into. And I had a joke about them, you know, a news report that they were loose. And wherever we were, I would reference the local highway. And I remember specifically one time. And it was in my home turf, so I know these highways, and saying the wrong number. Like a number that had nothing to do with any place where we were. And I was just like, specifically was trying to use a local reference, and it was gone. And it was my local reference.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's becoming becoming more of a problem, to be honest with you. I'm forgetting a lot of things. So, you know, I'll slip into – dementia actually scares the crap out of me. It scares me if my parents get it. It scares me if my wife gets it. It's like, wow, that seems like the – well, I don't want to bring the show down. But it seems like a terrible, terrible illness, especially for a comic.
Well, yeah, forgetting your words. You know,
I'll remember all the setups. It'll just be the punchlines that are gone.
Great.
I'll just be the guy that has really bad stories that go nowhere and babbles. That's
I have been that guy.
Well, you've been that guy. Wow.
Well, I've been that girl.
You were ahead of your time.
Yeah. You know what? I was just steamrolling ahead with stories that went nowhere, and that was my claim to fame.
No, I mean you were ahead of your time, like being a different gender.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not yet.
Which I know
is
all the rage now. But actually,
there was a
Republican governor in Utah, and I guess they were like having a thing with like transgender. Or, you know, playing sports, that type of thing, you know, which is all the rage in these red states. And Utah's a red state. And this is a Republican governor. And I don't know the story 100%, but I guess it came to his desk to do something like they do in Florida. You know, they just can't wait to make laws. And he said, I'm not going to make a law about this. He's like, this affects whatever the small amount of people it is. Handle it on the local side of things. I'm not going to make a – which was refreshing from a Republican and actually is traditional Republican values who wanted smaller government, less government, local government. So when we – I don't want to get in a whole political thing, but it's like when we talk – about who might run in 2024, 2023. And Joe's like DeSantis, and I'm like, no. I say it all the time. I go, there's quality Republicans, conservatives, who I would probably disagree with on many issues, but are conservatives and have a line of thinking that is not contradictory and just about owning the libs, where you go, yeah, if this party could ever get their shit together, that's somebody who could win. That's somebody who would get independence. That would somebody who could get your moderate Democrats. That's somebody who you could get Republicans. But the party's so batshit crazy. I mean, Joe likes to say, like, the fringes of the party. Marjorie Taylor Greene's the second most powerful person in the Republican Congress. The fringes are running shit now. I mean, that's just, I mean. And it's just not the case on the left. I mean, AOC gets a lot of publicity, but she really has no more power.
Big power.
No, I mean, she gets headlines, which she probably gets headlines because she's young, she's pretty, she's got an interesting story, she's a Latina, she's certainly smart, which, you know, that drives them crazy. But, I mean, as far as power, no, not really.
Not really.
No.
Yeah, not really.
She might
no,
get
it. And that much, but with the attributes that you were saying before, it does drive them crazy. It's bad to have to battle against somebody who is actually intelligent and well-spoken. And maybe you don't agree with everything she has to say. I don't agree with every plan that she has or everything she has to say, but I do appreciate her voice.
It's amazing when you think about the Republicans right now. They got rid of Liz Cheney, who don't really disagree with her on much of anything, who you can't be more well-spoken, well thought out. Even if you hate what she's saying, there's a logic to her thinking, and she could get her opinions across. They threw her to the side for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. And they don't see – and they look at – like, Liz, we've had the conversation. Liz Cheney's a rhino. No. No, she's not. She –
I don't think so.
She's as good – she hasn't changed. Everybody else has changed, which
– Well, and look at Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert, you know, like two sharks biting into each other, you know, in this terrible – crazy political circle jerk. I just can't stand it. Talk about real things, please.
Well, I mean,
paying people for.
Unfortunately, we saw that with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is regarded. I mean, she gave the answer that they do with the State of the Union. The other party, for some reason, has to give a speech. I don't know why, but they do. We must be heard. So Sarah Huckabee. Former press secretary for Donald Trump and governor of Arkansas gave the speech, and she's regarded as a good politician, and even people from the left say she's a nice person. I don't know anything about her. I can't say she's a good person, not a good person. I have no idea. But she gave this searing thing, like it was about owning the libs, and the libs are unhinged. And this was on the heels of Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others screaming out during the State of the Union. Now, I know they have the stuff written ahead of time. I know they do. And I know Kevin McCarthy, who's the Speaker of the House and the leader of the Republicans in Congress, told them, don't do that shit. It's just going to help Biden out, plays right into the hands. Don't do that shit. But they're not going to listen to Kevin McCarthy. Takes me 15 votes to get Speaker of the House. So they did that shit. And those were Biden's best moments. But you have them scream, which, you know, listen, I didn't like what Bush said, W. Bush. I didn't like what Trump said. But just sit there and shut the fuck up. A little decorum. And I remember Pelosi ripped up the thing. I don't remember what it was she ripped up. It was like, it was like a viral moment, but you could certainly make the argument again, just a little decorum. Can we just keep our shit together for an hour and a half? And we can't. But anyway,
we can't.
So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like the crazy Democrats. And it was just like 5 minutes after we saw that. It's just, they're gonna push the wrong people to run. They got Nikki Haley just announced today. There was a time she was a viable candidate, but that time was before she was working for the Trump White House. you know.
I don't think I know this person.
Nikki Haley was the governor of South Carolina. She comes from immigrants. She was born here. Comes from an Indian family. South Carolina was popular, well thought of. When Trump was running, was against Trump. Then when Trump won South Carolina, she was for Trump. And then she represented us in the United Nations. Trump put her in the United Nations and everything. But I mean, Joe says, you know, we can't put Trump up there because, you know, you're not going to get us to vote for. Forget about us. You're not going to get independents to vote. You're going to have that stink of Donald Trump. They don't understand it, and they don't understand that DeSantis's thing of owning the libs, it might work in Florida. You're not going to win a national because the people don't want the own the thing. They don't want that. Speak to what you're going to do for me. Most people don't care about these culture wars. Some of the base does, absolutely. Most people don't care about transsexuals, transgender, gay. They don't care because it's not in their life. How am I going to pay my bills? As Joe would say, you know, the price of gas, the price of food, which is what really wins elections, even though there's very little any president can do about it. But, I mean, that, right. As Joe would say, that's what you should be talking about.
Yep.
But they don't seem – and you can talk about it, and usually talking about it is good enough for our population, unfortunately. But I'd like somebody with answers. I'd like somebody with solutions. Don't tell me that there's problems. I know there's problems. Which telling me that there's problems is better than whining about the media and the other side and elections from long ago. It's better than that. But marginally so. Telling me there's problems. I know there's problems. Tell me what you're gonna do. If you think the border wall is such an issue, what are you gonna do? And it's got to be more than just a wall. It's got to be comprehensive. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're gonna do. And now we have something to talk about. But whatever. I certainly didn't want to get into all that. So let's do you stink. Let's do that.
Okay.
You stink. All right. What is going on? What stinks?
Well, as you know, and our listeners know, I use a CPAP machine at night.
Yes.
And so now the darn thing, it has these two clips on the side. It's just like this gigantic, sexy headgear with a big mask in the front.
You can't even sleep on. You can't
a
even
big fighter pilot.
You can't sleep on your stomach with that thing.
Well, I don't anyway because I find that uncomfortable for my back.
Okay.
So I sleep on my side or on my back, but you know, I think it would be tough to sleep on your stomach.
Yeah, I like a good stomach sleep. That would be a problem. But go on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like the way my head is jerked back, so I get a nice crick in the neck in the morning. I really like that.
You know what? I like waking up in pain. It's kind of my thing.
Sure.
But, you know, so this mask has got this, you know, plastic piece, and then there's straps around it. And there's these little tiny plastic clips that hold the straps. Now the straps have to be tightened to fit snug to your head. And so there's a lot of tension on these little plastic clips. And they break. And they break a lot. Oh, Jesus. Do you see what Joe is?
Yeah, well, he was his own name. And then he's like, no, why would I be me? That's a fucking horrible existence. I'll be something else. So go on.
Joe, the cherub of love.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear God.
Yes.
I thank God for not just wearing underpants or a diaper. Thank you, Joe.
He's wearing a diaper. You just don't see it. We don't, you know, it's like.
thanks for cluing us in on that too. Now that's all I have in my head.
Listen,
if Joe
has his libations within hand's reach, there's no reason for him to take a break during the musical break. Joe is all geared. He could sit right there as long as he's got his alcoholic beverages for segment three.
Yeah, but there's a problem because he gets this funny little look on his face and a faraway look in the eyes, and you know what's happening.
Yes. All right. So anyway, so you got your gear. You have things that are breaking.
I got my CPAP mask, and so now this one little plastic piece. teeth broke, and I kind of MacGyvered it back together with some heavy-duty duct tape and my cleverness, and an old piece off of a mask that hadn't completely broken in the bits. So I put this thing together, and I'm holding it together. Now, I have a lot of things going on, and the only time I get to call my doctor's office is on my lunch hour, and if there's something else to do, that has to wait a day. So I call my doctor's office, I tell them the pinch I'm in, I finally get through, and so they say, okay, we'll send you have to get a prescription to get a new mask, which drives me insane because it's not drugs. It's not something that normal people are going to abuse. It's a mask for my device. Now, if you want to get the machine, I can understand you need a prescription because somebody should tell you how to use it and where to get it.
Yeah, but once you have a prescription, why do you have to get a brand new prescription? Are people selling these on the black market?
No. It's not like it has some kind of...
It's probably the insurance companies that want that so they can get deducted or whatever.
And they're a gigantic pain in the ass. So you have to talk to your doctor's office. They'll be like, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. Now you have to make an appointment. And now I have to take time off of work to go see the doctor just so I can say, can I have a new fucking mask? So all these shenanigans go on. They supposedly send in the prescription, and I'm, like, waiting for this thing to show up. And I'm like, is this going slow boat to China? What's taking so long? And, you know, other things are occupying my time because nature abhors a vacuum, and my life is just like a constant shit show these days. So I'm suffering because, you know, this mask is old. It doesn't fit as snugly to my face. I've kind of MacGyvered it together. But, you know, you got masking tape and long hair. You're going to have a hair pulling situation every night. It's annoying. So, now, the other little piece snaps, and I don't have a nice little old one to, like, MacGyver on there. I'm out of tricks. And one's broken, the other one, you know, you have to have one original one. You can't have both of them. It's like having two legs in a cast. It's a problem now. So I call the doctor's office, and, of course, you can't get through to a human. You have to leave a message for the prescription department, and that bitch doesn't call you back until the next day, or calls back while you're at work and you can't talk to them. So I've been going round and round with prescription bitch, and she leaves me messages like, if you have any questions, give me a call. How about you answer the question I left for you?
I hate that. They can't answer it. They got to, like, hey, I'm calling, and that's enough. It's not enough.
It's not enough. How about I left you a very specific question, like, when did you send the prescription? Who did you send it to? And give me their phone number so I can follow up with them, because where the hell is it? So after going round and round with this for a while, I finally get that information out of her. I call the company. They have never heard of me. They have no prescription. Nothing's on the way.
I find that's often the case with these scenarios. When you're waiting a certain amount of time, that's why you got to follow up. So you called back your doctor?
Yeah, and I left a message for prescription bitch. What gives? Why have they not heard of me? And they're like, oh, yes, we sent it that day. Well, you know what? I'm sick of going back and forth between you two. So I bit the bullet. And I spent full price online without a prescription, buying it for myself, and I'll have to go and argue with my insurance company because I am psychotic from lack of sleep at this point. It's not good for me to try to sleep without it day after day after day.
When you call up, do you follow the prompt and it says for prescriptions? I even go there. I want a live body.
I've tried everything. And I can't get through to a person that can help me.
How far away are they from where you live?
They're not very far.
So you need to make a personal appearance. That's what you need to do.
I No, but I would have to take time off of work.
Listen, nobody's better at taking time off of work than you. I mean,
that's the problem because I have no time left.
And it's February, but it's your life.
So you accumulate it as time goes on. Like, I don't get, like, here are your days for the year. You accumulate them as time goes on, so I don't have.
What do you mean? What do you mean you accumulate them?
You know, like every month you get so many hours
you accrue sick time and you accrue days off every month.
So yeah. What happens if you're too sick to come in?
I don't get paid.
All right, but this way you're not going to live. So.
This is a problem.
It's mid-February. How many days?
For a week.
If it goes by the month, it's mid-February. How many days have you accrued in February?
I was off for a week. I had a sinus infection.
Oh, my God.
And I got paid. So I don't have time accrued to go and just take time off. And, of course, you know, I had COVID. I was out for 2 weeks. Then my back went out. I was out for 2 days. And then I had a sinus infection. I was out for a week. My boss is mad.
Yeah.
I was out sick.
Let me tell you something. You go in, but, you know, I've been battling a cold for the past week. And the cold and me hate each other's guts. So we've been going back and forth every fucking day. And I was on the way to work. And I was thinking of calling in and just going home and going to sleep. Thank God I didn't. Because apparently everything was a fucking problem today, and it was on the phone figuring shit out most of the day. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to go in, you got to go in, you know?
Jeez, I wish I would have known you were patient zero when we were together on Saturday night. That would have been good to know.
I wasn't that sick. As a matter of fact, I didn't really feel bad that night. But, you know, it's been day by day. You know, I don't have COVID. I took a test, you know, so I'm fine. I'm not like COVID Mary.
COVID Mayor. Well, we're working together again on Saturday, Patient Zero. So bubble yourself up.
Well, I'm not going to come to you, stupid. I'll be fine.
Yeah, but we got to share a microphone.
Oh my God! I'm fine. How do you feel today?
A little ill. A little upset.
Really?
Really?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, of course you're
fine. I was a little nauseous. Yesterday, I was a little queasy yesterday, but I'm good. All right.
No.
Let's talk about this Super Bowl that happened, as we do every year. Now I know Joe didn't see any of the Super Bowl because, you know, once those players started kneeling, Joe swore off the NFL. So
Well, they played the Black National Anthem.
They do that now.
Nobody knows the words. They should have played the theme song from the Jeffersons.
Oh no.
Number one, hear me out on this, okay? Number one, it supports black success, okay? It's pro-black, and everybody knows the words. And who doesn't want a deluxe apartment in the sky? He should have played that.
Okay.
No. Would you want a national anthem, the white national anthem, to be like, you know, Three's Company? Come in, knock on our door.
No, hold on. That would be like the Swingers national anthem. That wouldn't just be wouldn't be the generic white people. That's people who want to, you know, have a little fun.
Yeah. That's true.
We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and his. And Joe would be like, there's too many pronouns. Stop this song.
Theirs and...
Why don't we have the Italian national anthem? Oh, say, can you see?
What?
Never mind. Forget it.
I don't get it.
Listen, if you didn't get a laugh from Pip, you know it didn't land.
Yeah.
I mean, she has bailed out many a bad joke by everybody on this show. If
You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome.
I mean, if Pip's giving you a PU, don't look at us like we're the problem.
I didn't know that I was the arbiter of taste on the show.
You absolutely are not.
Where is that?
You absolutely are not, which is my point. My point is you bail out many a joke by everybody that stinks. And if you're not bailing out a joke, then that really is the garbage flotilla in the Pacific Ocean of a joke.
The garbage flotilla. Oh, God.
Joe's pouting. He doesn't want to laugh at garbage flotilla, but he's pouting. He's like, come on, I did it at a mic on Thursday night and it got a laugh.
Jesus Christ, you throw one fucking line.
I know, right?
No, it wasn't wasn't the line. It was the look that you gave us for not getting it. That was the issue. I don't...
Oh, stupid. What can I tell you?
All right. So every year they do the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the NFL, and every team nominates a player for the charity work that they do in their community. It's a very prestigious thing. These are good people that are doing this. So this year, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award was Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. So now the Eagles, who are bitter rivals of the Cowboys, are in the Super Bowl. And they announced Dak Prescott as the winner of the Walter Payton Award. And they boo. Talk about being classless pieces of shit. We're not asking you, and the greatest quarterback of all time, Dak Prescott. No, he did a lot of charity work, you animals. Can't you stifle yourselves and pull?
They can't. They're animals. Jesus Christ, he flipped over a car and the game didn't even begin yet. He threw shit at
me. Well, hold on. That car knows what it did. That car had it coming, mister. Like, you know, you're right. You're right, though. Like, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. And they torched Philadelphia, which is the same thing they would have done if the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They actually, in Philadelphia, grease like the light poles so people can't climb them. This is a thing. But my point is, just a little bit of respect for somebody who did something good. You know, like the only time you ever see that, and I can't speak for Philadelphia, but, like, if a player gets injured, they'll applaud. Like, I've been at a bunch of Jet games, and our fans are god-awful, too. We're not Philly fans, but we're not much better.
Not bad as Philly fans.
No.
Ugh.
But we applaud. All right. So that was I thought that was wrong.
You applaud when they get up, not that you don't applaud because they got hurt.
Well, first, depends. Like, if it's Tom Brady, you know. You know, if it's Tom Brady, you know, he's had a good life.
Happy to see him go? Is that where we're at?
I gotta tell you, I respect the hell out of him. Respect, greatest of all time. Glad he's retired.
He should have retired last year, you know, and gone out on top.
Well, they didn't win last year.
They should have still retired last year.
All right. All right, Joe, and you should have retired from comedy 15 years ago, but you like doing it, so you do it. How do you tell this man who's the best at it that he should stop playing when he can still play at a high level? I mean, I understand, he should have done this. Who am I to tell him how to live his life?
That's just my opinion. It's not like I took him to the diner and had a meeting with him, you know?
You know, were there pickles?
They're fresh. My opinion. I felt he should have retired. He should have, you know, gone worked in the booth. He's going to make a ton of money working.
And he's still going to make that money. He's still,
yeah, he is.
It's like a $300 million contract the guy's got.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be okay. I think it's going to work out for him. All right.
Yeah,
I think he should have left before he lost his wife. But what do I know?
So I am going to play a portion of the national anthem as sung by Chris Stapleton, who is a country singer.
Oh, good, because I haven't heard this.
I'm just going to play a portion. It's like about a minute plus of it. But you'll get the idea of what it was. And Joe and I had a difference of opinion. A lot of people had differing opinions on it. But, of course, Joe, being the asshole he is, like, tries to make it personal and stupid instead of just saying, I disagree, like a normal human being. Joe is the Eagles fan of Facebook, essentially.
Because I said why? Because it sounded patriotic?
No, you said why because it's patriotic, and my response to you is, Everybody who sings the national anthem at the Super Bowl sings a patriotic version. It's not like they hired Roseanne to grab her crotch and spit at the national anthem. Nobody's ever done the national anthem. Boy, am I going to show America here. Nobody's done that. They all sing. They all try their best. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna be like the Iron Sheik of 1985 WWF wrestling. Ha, America, ha, booey! All say, Iran number one, USA sting. Nobody's ever done that at the Super Bowl. Every time they sing the national, they all get flyovers. Now they include balloons, but every year they get flyovers, and every year while they're singing, we get patriotic videos. It's not because Chris Stapleton sung it that this got busted up. They do the same shit every year. But I just want
to play the song. Give me your opinion, and
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, you're a big boy now. You can do it.
I can press.
By the dawn. Early light, oh, so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare of arms burned, singing out, yeah.
So that you get the gist of it. So I said,
yeah.
I said that was the worst rendition of the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Not ever. It's perfectly fine rendition at the Super Bowl. And some people agreed, and some people, especially Chris Stapleton fans, disagreed. Here is why I think it is the worst rendition at the Super Bowl ever. And it, based on logic, it has nothing to do with Chris Stapleton. And before I say this, you know, somebody who likes Chris Stapleton, who's a friend of mine, goes, well, what happens if it was Steven Tyler singing it? I go, I've heard Steven Tyler sing the national anthem, and that stunk too. It has nothing to do with what I think of the singer. The Super Bowl is really America's holiday without being a holiday. There's nothing that is more American than the Super Bowl, and I will tell you why. It is big. It is loud. We have military flyovers. We're stuffing our faces. We're smashing into each other. We're beating our chests. There is nothing. We are ready to go. There is no more amped up. They had like a third of the country was watching the Super Bowl. You can't get a third of us to even get a COVID shot, let alone watch the Super Bowl. This is an American holiday. So why do I think this is the worst version for the Super Bowl ever? Because every other version that I can recall, very uplifting, very loud. It's a very, very difficult song to do. Some of the greatest musicians in the world, singers in the world, cannot do it. Some singers you've never heard of, like Arlette, who does it for the Devils in Newark, in New Jersey, is amazing at it. Because it's just, to really do it, there are notes that most people can't hit. There are breaths that you have to hold that most people can't hit. That's why. So what he does this low-key version, because maybe he can hit these notes, maybe he can't. Now, why do I think it's the worst thing? Listen, you tell me we're doing this at the White House for Memorial Day, I go, okay. That's a more somber version, the slow, we go, okay. You tell me we're doing something like this for a 9/11, I go, okay, that's fine. For the Super Bowl, and Whitney Houston is the bell star, you know, Whitney Houston's regarded as the number one, and not everybody could sing like Whitney Houston, nor should they try. But that is the type of thing that most of us look for at the Super Bowl. Just like I wouldn't want Bruce Springsteen singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. He's got the same type of voice as Chris Stapleton. It's fine. It's folksy. I just don't want it at the Super Bowl. Show me that range.
But the thing about it is that there are certain songs that you could feel it comes from the heart. You know, you got Whitney Houston was a phenomenal singer. You have, you know, people that come out that are phenomenal singers. Chris Stapleton, you know, he's a good singer, but you could feel that song coming from the heart.
Why? But why? Why? Because he sang it slow?
Because he sang it slow. I'll give you a perfect example. The song is different, but if you ever listen to Johnny Cash's rendition of Trent Reznor's song, Hurt, the song is so well done by Johnny Cash because you could feel the emotion. There are songs that you listen to and you feel, how the range that get hit, how they accentuate. But there are also songs that are amazing because you could feel the emotion coming
out.
You could feel the emotion coming out from this rendition.
You are proving my point. I am saying for the Super Bowl, we want big. Fire us up. Don't bring us down. It's like having a ballad
You're
when you
not
need.
Bringing us down.
He had the quarterback. He had the coach of the Eagles in tears. He was crying on the sidelines. Stop it. This is not the. He's bawling like a little girl crying. This is not the place.
So for a song, for a national event such as the Super Bowl with the millions of people, a song of the national anthem that is sung with soul and feeling directly from the heart with conviction. Is a problem?
No, but I'll tell you why. Because we had a song before that you could sing the way Chris Stapleton sung it, called America the Beautiful, which they say, Chris Stapleton doing this version, singing it this way, for America the Beautiful would have been fine, would have had no issue with it, but not the national anthem on Super
Bowl
Sunday.
You're absolutely wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You sit in your little room and everybody tells you you're right, but no, you're not.
No, I'm usually right.
In your little world, you are. But
no, in the real world.
No, not really. But no, you're wrong. That song was sung with emotion and conviction.
Wait, but you don't know if it was sung. Hold on. You don't know if he sung with any more emotion than anybody else who's ever sung the song.
You also got to see, it was also stripped down and it was done on a guitar and instead of a big,
yes, yes,
thing,
which is why I said
something different. It was emotional and it was very good.
But hold on, the emotion that you derive from this version, you're putting on this singer and saying the other singers didn't have it. That's in your head. I don't know what any of them are thinking.
I did not say that. I said all the singers that have performed the song have done a good job. This version was from the heart. It was done.
But that's just it. How do you know the other versions aren't from the heart? I mean, we certainly thought Whitney Houston's was from the heart in 1991.
Where did I say I didn't say?
But that's what I'm saying. So what? But you keep on saying this.
You're putting words on my mouth. I never said that.
But here's the thing. I'm going with the assumption that they all were emotional, all had heart when they sung. I'm assuming that from everybody who sings the national anthem at the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, from a performance standpoint, not what I want at the Super Bowl. Show me something. Give me a great singer. I don't, man, woman, both. I don't give a shit. Give me some range. Hit some notes.
Yeah, but still, a song has to do with more than the way it's performed and the soul. Is done more than range. I mean, look, you hear versions that of the national anthem that are absolutely amazing, especially from singers when they go to the land of the free. And there are some singers that are so good, they will take that line, get the high note, and then accentuate it, which is beyond amazing. But it's also from the soul. But this version is actually from the soul as well. An acoustic.
I'm not.
With emotional. It was amazing.
But it wasn't. It wasn't amazing. It was fine. It was pedestrian. It wasn't amazing. I want for the Super
but the
Bowl.
Thing about it, sometimes a performance that is pedestrian translates soul within those confines.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Every time we rip a halftime act, which we'll get to next, it's usually a white band that's in their 40s that turns in a pedestrian performance. And we all go, ugh, that was unforgettable. Nobody goes, oh, but they were trying to do something and they were soulful. Not at the Super Bowl. Not at the Super Bowl. You can do it any place. Listen, Chris Stapleton wants to have his unplugged Patriot tour. I'm cool. You and Lee Greenwood, buddy, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying, for if you're not a Chris Stapleton fan and you want the spectacle of the Super Bowl, the one time a year when we want spectacle, when we want pomp and circumstance, because God knows we can't do it when we elect
the
president.
Here's the thing. Before Sunday night, I didn't know who Chris Stapleton was. I turned the Super Bowl on. Here's this guy that looks like he works at the fireplace singing the national anthem. And I go, this is really soulful. He's out there just with an acoustic, electric guitar, but it's just him. Really doing a soulful version of the national anthem. It's different, and it was good.
I don't know if it was any more. I think there's that folksiness because he's got that southern twang that people like, which is fine. I get it. Listen, I'm not knocking the guy. See, I think that's where you're getting me wrong. I'm not knocking the guy. I'm not saying the guy's not talented. I don't know from Chris Stapleton. I know he's very successful and people like him. I'm just saying from the Super Bowl, I want more. What say you, Pip?
Well, I think that it's really funny that you guys are arguing about something that is so subjective.
And wait, hold on. Are you new? I mean, really, are you new? Yeah, I know, really. If anything, we've upgraded the discourse.
Yeah, I know. I did forget where I was. Sorry. Of course you're both idiots. That's
acceptable.
For later.
Hold on. That is acceptable. I can't believe you're arguing about something so subjective is not acceptable.
The thing is that, I mean, you have your opinion, Devin, about what you're expecting and what you want to feel and what moves you. But, I mean, there's other people that were very moved by that performance, and it's a different style than you would have expected. But it's so much about feel. And when you say that, I would think that people would go to the Super Bowl and they would be feeling it. Not necessarily.
There's a lot of pressure on
that performance. So there are a lot of people who are technically incredibly gifted, but the heart just does not connect with what they're doing. And for whatever reason, we could diagram him until the cows come home, but for whatever reason, he struck home with a lot of people.
Oh, they always do. They always do. But there is an expectation, like there is with the halftime show, which we'll get to in a second, that you agreed on. The expectation is amazing vocal soaring. That's the word. The expectation is soaring vocals.
You're figuring that. But like I said, I think most people would agree. When he started singing, you're like, wow, this is different. And he really is playing it from the heart. So, you know, a little variety is not...
Oh, Joe, I lost you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Joe. Still can't hear you. Pip, are you there? Can't hear either one of you. All right. I'll call you back.
Okay.
Oh, wait, now I can hear you. Hold on.
Oh.
Joe, speak.
Yeah.
That was weird. Okay.
Okay. That's very strange.
Like I was saying, I go, yeah, it was different. And when he started playing it, you're like, wow. You weren't like, what the hell was this? Because he was doing a great job. So it's like, wow, this is different. This is unexpected. And he's doing a great job. It's just from the soul and from the heart. And he's playing it alone on an electric guitar, which was amazing. You know, it might not be as bombastic as you wanted, but it did do the job. And he
did I didn't say it didn't do the job. You got to remember, I'm grading it on other Super. I'm not grading it on, you know, Wednesday night at Yankee Stadium, which, by the way, is usually exceptional as well. I'm grading it on Super Bowls. There's been 52 of these. That's what I'm grading it on. I never said. And then when people who go, Roseanne, I said Super Bowl. Super Bowl. That's what I'm grading it on.
But let's say there was another. They had another country singer that came out next year to do it. I'd be with you. Oh Jesus Christ, not again! But this was something that was basic, and not basic in the sense that it was very emotional and basic, and it carried through, and it was different. So,
well, it was different.
With that.
It was different. All right. So now let's get to this. They had the all-woman flyover, which was kind of cool. I mean, you know, whatever that's worth, that's kind of nice, I guess.
You know what the funny thing is? They make it such a big deal. What, they expect them to crash? Yes. Hey, they didn't crash.
No, but it's the same thing, like, because this is the first Super Bowl where you had two black starting quarterbacks. You know, people are taking note of these things, and hopefully at some point we don't have to say, hey, this is the first Super Bowl two starting black quarter, or this is Super Bowl two starting, or the two starting black quarterbacks, or this is all women. Hopefully it becomes normalized, and hey, we have a flyover, and that's the end of it. But it's the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So yeah. Then there was the halftime show. Joe, did you see the halftime show?
I most certainly did.
Pip, did you see the halftime show?
No.
All right. So the halftime performer was Rihanna. I had high expectations for her. Because in my opinion, at this point, again, going with what I said earlier about the spectacle, if you want a truly superior halftime show in this day and age, you need a female pop star. The days of Prince and Michael Jackson and Aerosmith, which wasn't great, but was okay. You know, those days are over. Like, now we are in the land of Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Beyonce. These women are putting on the biggest spectacle, the biggest shows. They're singing, they're dancing, they're shaking their little tushes, they're up in the air, they're doing all sorts of things. Now, you have the people that are our generation, not us, but people our generation go, why isn't Metallica doing the halftime show? Why isn't the Rolling Stones doing the halftime show? Because they want to see the bands that they like. But in reality, these female pop stars are excellent choices. If you can get a Beyonce, a Gaga, a Rihanna, you get her. So the
You know what? Lady Gaga was amazing. Her halftime show, people were criticizing it. I go, you go up this, you jump down that, you thank your parents, then you jump on the piano and play, knock out a tune. I thought it was stupendous. I mean, this halftime show, I didn't think it was that special.
I agree with you actually on both. I think Gaga's might be the best one in recent memory. It was
Absolutely, without a doubt.
But I had high expectations for Rihanna, not to be Lady Gaga, but I had high expectations for Rihanna. She's got a boatload of hits. She's sexy as hell. She's a good singer. I've never seen her. I don't have any of her albums. But, you know, like a Beyonce, you respect it. If you're not like an old, it's not my music. If you're not that, you respect it. So what do we get? There are these platforms way up in the air. I'm going to say hundreds of feet. I don't know. That they are Rihanna and some other singers are on. Now, Rihanna is all in red. And the singers, a lot of them, they look like they're wearing white Snuggies.
They look like a bunch of sperm cells.
So,
they turned the Super Bowl into a big uterus.
Well, hold on.
Wow.
Hold on. Well. So, she's all red. She's in red.
That's nice right now.
They're in white. Now, she's up there, and she's not really moving. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, huh. Rihanna's got a little bit of a gut. Is she pregnant? She just had a kid. Is she pregnant? And and here's where we are as a nation. I didn't want to put that on social media because I didn't want to get the best. Oh, what? She can't live her best life? Your body's shaved? I didn't want any of it. So I just thought to myself, I wonder if she's pregnant. That's what I thought to myself. So then she's doing it, and the visual, not really what I was hoping for. Not the spectacle. She's not really dancing that much. The guys and gals in the Snuggies were excellent. They're going all over the place. She's not
the special Snuggie dancers.
Yeah, she's not really singing that much. And then the worst part, I said singing that much. Nay, 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 nay. She was not singing at all. She was lip syncing. Yeah. Listen.
You want to know something? And also on that, when you and we'll even go back to the topical female stars, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. When you watch those Super Bowl shows, and the one I think they had last year when they were celebrating all the rap stars.
Yeah, that was like Dre and Eminem and all that. Yeah.
Right. But if you notice, they'll switch it up in the middle. They'll switch the setup in the middle. Somebody will come out mad to the tune. So you're watching it. Oh, wow! How did they pull that off? And you know this little time. And you're looking. And that's just not too bad. They're changing it up constantly. There was no changing it up. Well, look at those platforms going. Yeah, all right, that's nice, but it's not exciting. Where you're watching these other presentations and past the halftime shows are going. Wow, that's really cool. Wow. Well, that stinks, but this was cool. Wow, you know, it was just. There was no great stakes.
I agree with you, but to me the biggest transgression is if you're not going to dance that much, at least sing. Give us the singing. You gotta sing. I mean,
yeah. Well, like I said in the past, with Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, you know, and the rapper's like, whoa, she's lip syncing. Don't run around and do that shit. You know, I mean, and try to sing. I mean, I lift my hand up from the keyboard in the middle of the tune. I fucking need a nap.
Right. No, but well, Lady Gaga and them, from what I recall, they did actually sing while doing all these shenanigans.
Her because she was doing everything. Everything was transitioning to something else. She was everywhere all the time. So bravo to her for doing that.
She also did a move. This Rihanna. Yeah. Rihanna did a move where she like stuck her hand by her crotch and sniffed it. Apparently, for Rihanna fans, this is one of her moves.
Oh, what?
Yes. She stuck.
She can wipe. I don't. You know. I don't.
She stuck her hand down by her crotch, and like sniffed it. Maybe even tasted it. Apparently, that's one of her moves. Listen, I don't want to be that guy, but maybe for the Super Bowl, you don't do that move. Maybe that's the move you don't do. But she did it.
I'm seriously grossed out right now.
No, you're that girl.
On national television, there was a crotch grab and then sniff.
And possibly taste.
Ah! Done.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No. No.
You know what? Yeah, we could sit here like fogies. Oh, that was bad. But there were sometimes you see the stuff that they do that is, you know, sexually provocative. But the freaking show is a mess. Get it, but as soon as she jumped down, the other dancers came out. So, you know, then he switched it up, and then this guy came out, and blah 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 blah. It was but here it was very mundane, you know. And we had the platforms that went up and down. Yeah, okay. Tommy Lee spun around in his drum set. You know, we get it. You know, but so you're not amazing me.
So then,
maybe I am an old fogey. Maybe I'm super prude. But there's some stuff that people do, even some of my favorites, that I'm like, ew. I mean, I could be very happy going to my grave now, never seeing Mick Jagger ride on a giant inflatable penis ever again. I'd be very happy never to see it again.
There's kids watching, and maybe I sound like a fogey, but if I'm doing a gig and there's a kid, maybe you have a kid in the audience and stuff like that. I mean, sometimes I won't light up, but sometimes I might not do one or two things. You know, just for fucking decorum's sake. So as a performer, too. You know, yeah, I get it, you want to be curtailed, but, you know, you got to look where the venue is, too.
Yeah.
So I agree with Joe. Very mundane. And then when you throw in the lip syncing, inexcusable. So then what is all that white and her in red? So people are like, was that supposed to be sperm? And was she like the vagina? Is that what that was? Is she pregnant? And then her publicist comes out and go, yeah, she's pregnant. Okay. So this was a big birth announcement. That's what this was. I guess it's better than a Facebook post. I guess.
Yeah. Now, the only thing in defense with lip syncing, you know, Misty Helix is a musician. And you ever see when you get to the gig and you're late or the other bands are asshole, whatever, and you got to go right up and you don't get a sound check? You know,
yep.
And it's a federal case, the whole set. You're doing this. You're getting equipment right out there. It's got to get set up. There's no time to get her levels. There's no time, you know. And if you lip sync it, then everything comes out perfect. So I get sometimes I'll give it a performer a break just due to the logistics of the gig. You know,
yeah.
You don't get a chance to do vocal levels or monitor levels. You know, I mean, the monitors just you have to be just so. But if you're lip syncing, you don't. Yeah, I can't hear my. You're fine. You can hear yourself. It's going through the PA.
Yeah.
So on a logistical level, you know, sometimes they do have to do that.
I don't think with this gig and that lack of dancing, it's excusable. It's inexcusable. You got to sing. Listen, you're pregnant. Stand still, Rihanna. Stand still in your red drape. That's your vagina. I don't have a problem with that. Sing. You have a great voice. If Britney Spears can sing.
Is, especially with that, and like I said, I don't like lipstick either. But logistically, and Pip, once again, you'll notice the risers that go up. Hopefully your monitor's up there. And if the monitor's not up there, it's going to be an absolute clusterfuck. If you're lip syncing it, there's enough monitor to get by because you can hear it to the house PA. You know.
She might have been using in ears. You know, I mean, that helps.
Yeah, right. So do in ears, but you know, so logistically, you know, and plus she's you know pregnant and she's singing through that, so there's a lot of things. I'm giving her a break on it because they all usually lip sync. I mean, if Lady Gaga didn't lip sync, then you know, kudos to her because
I don't think they all usually lip sync at the Super Bowl. I don't think that's true at all. I think most of them sing.
There's a lot. First of all, I mean, I understand that there were some platforms moving. You're trying to steady yourself on this thing. That's still, you know, you still have to use your core to make sure you don't go, you know, making a catastrophe falling off of this thing.
Okay, but you know what? In practice, if it's a problem. Where you can't really sing because you're on the platforms and you're rehearsing. They're rehearsing a long time for this. Maybe go, all right, I can't be on the platform 100 feet in the air. Let's put me in the ground and put the dancing sperm in the air. That's the move.
Well, wait, here, but you didn't hear the most important part, is that when you're pregnant, that's a lot of baby pushing against the diaphragm, and you're using that for your breath control for singing. She's working with a handicap.
Fair, but you know what? Don't take the gig. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's completely legitimate. But well, I'm just saying that I understand.
How many months pregnant is she?
Well, I mean, she's showing, so she's got to be, you know, way past the Republicans allowing you to get rid of it. No, I think she's probably I would probably say around four. Wait, what did they say? I think 4 months. She gave birth She gave birth in May. She gave birth in May to her other child. So, probably 3 or 4 months. I mean, she's showing a bump.
Yeah, because what happens is, I mean, the next Super Bowl, the 2024 halftime show, is already in planning and in production and stuff like that. Already signed off on. So they did even a year in advance. So,
yeah, but no, but Beyonce wasn't, not Beyonce, excuse me, Rihanna wasn't that far out. It wasn't a year ago where they announced it, because they were still negotiating the middle of last year, I want to say. The middle of last year, it was announced. Listen, it's fine. Just like Chris Stapleton, the expectations are high. This is the biggest stage.
But you know, the expectations, regardless of whose opinion it is, I think we can all agree the expectations on the halftime show is a lot more than the national.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you're Rihanna. You're Rihanna. We are expecting great things. You are a megastar. You know, she has hit after hit, collaborations with Drake and Eminem. She's, you know, she's not Beyonce. Nobody's Beyonce. So she's like a notch below Beyonce, which is megastar. I mean, you know, at this point, it's probably, and they're both touring, I think, it's probably Beyonce and Taylor Swift today.
You want to know something? you bring up Drake and Eminem. Have one of them, you know, have one of them or both of them come out showing that.
That's what we expected. There was, I mean, apparently Drake is a little too flaky, but I mean, Eminem was certainly expected. He was at last year's, but it didn't happen. I agree with you. We've been conditioned for all these surprises and all this cool stagecraft. Maybe Rihanna should have just come down out there with the guitar and just sung. Maybe that would have been the move.
So, like I said, with Drake or Eminem, this genre of music is not my cup of tea. However, if I'm watching it and know the history, and Eminem comes out and does, oh, okay, what? Why is he out? Oh, we go, oh, that's cool. All right, they're switching it up. Why? Well, on this album, they did that, and then they're going through the history, and they're bringing out artists. Now, that's cool. That's a transition. That's cool.
Yeah, we didn't get
in that show.
We didn't get that. We got one vagina, a whole lot of sperm, over and over and over and over.
What have you argued about that before?
I'd like more vaginas if there's going to be that much sperm. All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back. We will do our Love Fails 2023 scammer Valentine's Day countdown. On the break, we have new music from Inkarma and Dan Kurz with Numb and DJ Nicholas with Stay. And you can learn more about both them at khb-music.de.